Can I wipe away their tears? physicians. Thank you, Dr. Longo.
Yes, sir.
Your vivacious team, musicians, bless us today. Kimberly. Explain him. But I know he's good. Visitors, I want to welcome you to our church today to experience worship, being with God, communing with God, fellowshipping with God. Welcome, visitors. Welcome. We hope you come back to Southside today. The theme of our quizorama is coming from the book of Luke. And we looked at a passage in the book of Luke last Sabbath when Pastor Wilson brought a word to us. And now this Sabbath, we again will be coming from the book of Luke today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke. Chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. It's amazing how the early Christians didn't have the advantage we have having a written word. They heard the gospel first by the ear at public readings in worship. And I urge you, when you read the book of Luke, those of you who are studying the book of Luke, to listen to what Luke is saying. Study not just to get answers to what the quiz master will present you with, but listen and be led by the Holy Spirit to get the clear message of what Luke is saying. And don't be embarrassed if you find yourself saying, "I've never noticed that before." Even if it's a passage that you may have taught or read here, the scripture's funny. It releases itself over a period of a lifetime as we are able. So let the scriptures speak to you as you study this book. Now, Luke presents his message in the form of an epistle, which is a letter. And an epistle is a letter of communication. I'm sorry, let me repeat myself for that. Luke does not present his message in the form of an epistle. Like Paul. Paul's letters are instructive letters. Like maybe there's somebody in the church who is going the wrong way, who's done wrong, who wants to take over the church and lead them in the wrong direction. Paul addresses that issue. Paul speaks directly to the church on that issue. That's why all of Paul's writings are called epistles. But Luke is in the form of a sermon. It's the gospel of Luke. And the gospel is a narrative. It's a story or a report, which means it's indirect communication. It's in the form of a story. Luke talks about the parables. And then he allows us to apply our own lives to those stories. So Luke comes to us in the form of a narrative. And if you look at Luke, he wants us to take our time and read through this scripture. He talks about the birth of Christ, but He wants us to take our time with it. There's 80 verses in chapter 1, and the child is not yet born. And Luke goes through the visions and the angels' visits, the mothers to be. And he wants the reader to savor the news, the new stories that are really old stories. So those who are on the Quizarama team, I'm urging you not to just study for answers, but let the scriptures speak to you. Anybody could get answers, but let the gospel of Luke get inside of you and change you. That's what I'm praying for as we go through this book of Luke. As we look at chapter 1, let's begin at verse 5. Let's begin at verse 5. Let's look at Luke. There was in the days of Herod, and I'm going to read the Bible this morning. Is that all right? Will you read the Bible with me? Let's read God's word together. There was in the days of Herod, is it on the screen? There it is. The king of Judea, a certain priest named, what was his name? Zacharias. Of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was what? Elizabeth. So you have Zacharias and Elizabeth, husband and wife. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with what? The Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "Listen, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord hath dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people." What a story. Let us bow for a moment as we observe this text. Father, give us wisdom and may the people understand my words, your words speaking through me. Hide me, speak through me. May the message be clear in Jesus' name. Amen. What a word from the Lord today. It's interesting how God uses. I preached before on the story of Samuel and Hannah and how God uses these barren women to test their faith. Today, we have the benefit of hindsight, but they didn't. Elizabeth and Zechariah didn't. Today, we can look back at the Old Testament and see the parallel. And there we find another older couple, Abraham and Sarah, praying for a child, old up in age. And to further confuse them, God even reveals an incredible purpose for their lives. God said in Genesis 1:12-3, he says, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God told Abraham that. And in all the Bible, there are only two couples that are childless and too old to have children. And they both are blessed with children that powerfully illustrate how God is faithful to his promises. Zechariah, the name means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. God always remembers. Every prayer that went seemingly unanswered, God remembers. Every moment when you and I felt like the heavens were strangely silent, God hears and God remembers. And that's the testimony of Zechariah today. Don't give up on your miracle. God has not forgotten about you. He's telling us, keep on praying. Keep on persevering. If you don't hear from me, keep praying. I'm listening. I'm there. But I have my own time clock. But keep on praying. So one may say, how do I move forward when my prayers go unanswered? Well, number one, consider how God is preparing your life. In verses 5 through 10, we read that Zechariah was a priest. He and Elizabeth are called upright people. These are upright folk who obeyed all the commandments of God, went to Sabbath school, came to church, were busy in the church. Zechariah was even a priest. Yet, their prayers went unanswered. They were childless. And for Jews, the absence of children was seen as a reproach, evidence of God's judgment on a person's sin, and how hard it must have been for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah being a spiritual leader in Israel and Elizabeth to keep on obeying God, keep on remaining consistent in their faith, and still bear the sentence of a life unaccepted. when you and I are doing all that God asks us to do, and he still doesn't respond to our prayers, that's hard. But Zechariah and Elizabeth press on. And that's why we're having this prayer meeting tonight. We want to visit God. We want to keep knocking. We want to keep asking. We want to keep pressing on, because like the word Zechariah means, God always remembers. He always remembers. Now, the Bible says it gets to the day when Zechariah is chosen to be the one to cast the lots of the burnt incense in the temple. There were maybe 18,000 priests in those days who regularly served the temple, but only one could go into the holy place. You remember how the temple was set up, the outside court, the holy place, and the most holy place? Zechariah was chosen out of all these priests to serve at the temple, but only one could go into the holy place and burn incense as they prepared for the sacrificial offering. As a priest, you would only get one time, one chance in a lifetime to do this. And Zechariah was chosen by God in his later years as a priest to go into the holy place and offer up incense for the people. Zechariah didn't know it, but God had been planning this day from the very beginning. Zechariah and his family were going to be a part of God's plan to offer salvation to the world. What seemed like unexplainable silence was really God's work in preparing Zechariah and Elizabeth for this incredible day. And I guess if I had a title of this sermon, it would be how to wait on a miracle. How to wait on a miracle. The point is, when God seems to remain silent, when your prayers seem to go unanswered, it's not because God is asleep. He's not asleep on the job. Take time to consider all that he's doing to prepare you for his answer. He's working on you while he's preparing an answer for you. See, if he were to give you the answer to your prayer too early, you wouldn't be ready for it. So before God works on your problems, he wants to work on you. Noah worked on building the ark for nearly 100 years before it ever started raining. Abraham waits 25 years after God promises him a son before Isaac is born. Moses herded sheep in the wilderness for 40 years before God spoke to him at the burning bush. The list goes on in the Bible, and in all of those situations, did God just forget about them? Did he forget about what he was doing? Did he get distracted? No. He was working on the individual. He was working on each person, preparing them for what he had planned. God had a bigger picture in mind. So while you're waiting on your miracle, God is working on you. Working on you. The Pilgrim Jubilees, I like music. The Pilgrim Jubilees sing a song called Work On Me. And the lyrics go something like this. Work on me, Lord. Work on me. Lord, I want you to please work on me. Except the Lord build this house. The foundation is weak. Everybody in the building, tell the Lord, work on me. Then the song says, Lord, I can ask you to fix the man in the street, fix the murderer, fix the robber, and don't forget the thief. I can ask you to fix every wrong thing I see, but I'm going to ask you, Lord, tonight to work on me. While you're waiting on your miracle, When it seems like the heavens are silent, God is working on you. He's working on you. Another way to move forward when your prayers go unanswered is comprehend how God speaks to your life. As I said, this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for Zechariah. He was probably dealing with a lot of emotions. On the one hand, there was the excitement that came from having this incredible honor that he had waited all of his life for. On the other hand, there was probably a holy fear of what it meant to minister in God's presence. In Leviticus, the 10th chapter, we read about Aaron's sons, remember Nadab and Abihu, and how they were immediately put to death by God because they performed this ritual in a prideful manner. Zechariah probably rehearsed this thing over and over. He rehearsed his actions over and over in his mind with the prayer that he would emerge from the holy place alive. Prayed about it. The altar in the holy place was just in front of that tall curtain behind which was the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And this is where the Ark of the Covenant resided and where the Jews believed the very presence of God's glory dwelt. This is as close as Zechariah will ever get to that place. Zechariah came and would burn incense that day at the altar. Now remember, he waited all these years to get to this point. He prayed all these years. Him and his wife, Elizabeth, prayed for a child all these years. No answer. And I'm sure he had forgotten about it. So there he is in front of the altar of burnt incense. The mixture of spices producing this heavy smoke that symbolized two things. First, it pictures the prayers of God's people rising up to heaven. Hallelujah. It would be seen outside as it filled up the room and billowed out from the openings around the tops of the walls, this incense that came from special trees. And at such a moment, all the hopes of one who looked for the Christ, the Messiah, would gather themselves. All the people in the outer court would be praying in one great intercession. It also was intended to shield the smoke from the incense, was to shield the priest from God's presence, so the priest would not die from seeing God. And as Zechariah was performing his duty, a messenger from God showed up. Ellen White says that messenger was Gabriel. Same angel that appeared to Daniel. Remember when Daniel was praying? Gabriel showed up. Showed up at his right side of the altar. Considered the side of favor. Now, keep in mind that Zechariah is standing just outside the most holy place. And the other priests and the people were standing in the courtyard outside the temple praying and seeing the incense rise. What do you think they were praying for? They were praying for the coming of the Messiah. After 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, God speaks through Gabriel that day. The answer to Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayers and the answer to Israel's prayers are connected in a supernatural way. And here is what I want you to see, is that God speaks as he always speaks in the context of worship. How many times do you come here to church on Sabbath and just go through the motions? You walk in and you sit down and stand up and you sing the praise song and you sit down and you stand up and then we walk out at the end. Are you meeting with God today? True worship is the joy the expectation of meeting with God, getting excited about the Sabbath coming because you're going to meet with God today. Whether it's here in worship or at home in prayer, worship is the context in which God speaks to our hearts. And if you're waiting on a miracle, if God has not answered your prayer, and you're not engaging in consistent worship, either private or public, then I would expect that you will just go on waiting. If God speaks to us only when we demand answers, then the focus is all on us. But it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. We have to comprehend that God only speaks in the context of worship. It's the vital step in seeing God's work in your life. He speaks to us in the context of worship. David, I love David in Psalm 73. David says he was almost ready. He almost slipped. But then he went where? Into the sanctuary. Then he began to understand things when he went into the presence of the Lord. He went into the sanctuary. You're missing out on worship on the Sabbath. You're missing something. Missing. It's not about you. Why does God allow this waiting period? Clarify how God evaluates your life. In verses 11 through 17, here Gabriel describes to Zechariah the answer to their prayer for a child. He describes it in great detail. The angel Gabriel, he describes how his son John will be seen as great by God himself. That's what he says. The angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Gabriel describes to Zechariah the answer to the prayer that him and Elizabeth had been praying for a lifetime. And here is how God describes greatness. Let's look at how God describes greatness. He calls John great. What is it about John's life that would make him label as great? Well, John lived a life fueled by the Holy Spirit's power. Gabriel tells us that John would be empowered by the Spirit from birth. And this seems to be a unique blessing that God placed on John's life. And we see this later when Luke tells us that when Elizabeth came to Mary, that John was in her womb and Elizabeth's womb and the baby leaps at the sound of Mary's greeting. That baby was full of the Holy Ghost. And so what we see in John's life is a preview of what is available to every person's life after the saving work of Jesus on the cross. John prepares the way for Jesus by letting us see what a spirit-filled life looks like. He prepares the way for Jesus to come. John preached a message that was life-changing. Gabriel announces in verse 17 that John's ministry will be a fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy concerning Elijah. So how were John's and Elijah's ministries connected? Elijah was the key prophet in preaching repentance to Israel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." You remember that message of Elijah? John's preaching was a message of repentance. Again, in the New Testament.
It was focused on calling people to turn from their sin to God. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." John called them a name. "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." That's the kind of life message that God defines as great. Person full of the Holy Ghost. Person that has boldness to speak the word of the God. What's your message today? What are you calling people to do with their lives based on your words and your actions? Is there evidence of the Holy Spirit's power in what you do? That's how God defines greatness. So while you're waiting on your miracle, take time to clarify how God is evaluating your life. While you're waiting, also contemplate God's plan for your life. We look at verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this?" See, Zechariah was doubting. He didn't have faith. "For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith does not make sense. Faith doesn't make sense. And we often look at verse 18 and judge Zechariah harshly. He obviously had questions and doubts about how God would accomplish all this in his life. And he uses different words here. One to describe himself. He says, "Gabriel, I'm old. How can this be accomplished?" And the other word, he describes his wife as advanced in years. He's saying, "I'm an old man, and the years have taken a toll on my wife." Zechariah, he's simply giving a human response to a supernatural announcement. Zechariah had to be thinking, why now? Why are you calling us to be parents while we're old like this? God could have answered this prayer in our prime. But how can we have the health, the energy, the stamina to raise a child at our age? And Gabriel's response is meant to remind Zechariah and us about how God's plan works. He says, "I am Gabriel, Zechariah. I stand in the presence of God," okay? In other words, this is God's plan that has been in the works since before eternity, man. If God has it planned, don't you think he knows how to carry it out? Gabriel was trying to explain, and seeing that Zechariah's faith is weak. God's timing and the way that God implements his plans rarely fits our way of thinking. God knew the exact time that Jesus would be born. God knows exactly when he would need to send a forerunner, a runner, to prepare the way. God knew this. And the age or physical condition of Zechariah and Elizabeth wasn't an obstacle at all to God. You call Luke 1:37, one of my favorite memory verses. It says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing. What do we do when we're waiting on God? Concede. Give in to God's discipline in your life. See, Zechariah's problem was a lack of faith. So Gabriel gives him a sign. Gabriel notices his lack of faith. And you would think Zechariah would have a lot of faith. He was a priest. But he had a lack of faith in God. He didn't believe God could allow them to be parents at such an old age. So Gabriel gives him a sign that will remind him for the next 9 months of his lack of faith. Okay? You don't have the faith. Well, I'm going to remind you of your lack of faith. So what did God do? Takes away his voice and makes him mute. And I'm not sure if somebody says, well, I don't know which was the bigger miracle, allowing Zachariah to keep his mouth shut or Elizabeth having a baby at her old age. You know, Zachariah was a preacher. And it must have been terrible to keep his mouth shut for 9 months. I thought about this sign affecting Zachariah over the next few months. Each day as he saw his wife progress, her belly getting bigger, each day he was reminded of how unbelieving he had been and how loving and faithful God had been. And we will see Luke 1 after the birth, when the sign was accomplished. Immediately, Zachariah's mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. Luke 1:64. After his mouth had been shut for all this time, he was ready to give God some glory. Amen. When you're waiting on a miracle from God in your life, how do you respond to his acts of discipline? How do we respond? This is how Zechariah responded. Verse 64, he says, and he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote saying, his name is John. When Zechariah came out of the temple, he couldn't even talk. And they marveled. He couldn't even talk. He asked the people for a tablet. And it says in verse 64, chapter 1, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke praising God. Praising God. Not reading scripture, but praising God. Hallelujah. When you're waiting on God's miracle in your life, we need to know or concede to God's discipline in your life. When Linda and I were married, we made a commitment to one another. Many of you out there are married. You made that commitment that was sealed by a legal contract. And we call it a marriage license. But as the years go by, we don't maintain that commitment to one another because of the contract. We remain committed to each other because of the love that has grown out of our commitment. That license, I don't even know where that license is now, somewhere in the house. It's just a keepsake instead of a contract. But it's not about the contract. It's about the commitment that we made. If you view God's discipline as a forced contract, something that forces you to wait patiently while God does his thing, you will eventually give up and walk away. But if you view God's discipline in your life as a keepsake, a loving reminder of your commitment to him and his faithfulness to you, you will wait in faith and remain confident that God's answer is coming. His answer is coming. He asks us to wait. He asked us to wait, I say, on the Lord. The songwriter Fred Hammond said, God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word.
and he will come through.
God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word, and he will come through.
Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I declare today, Southside, make this declaration that everything that God said he would do, he's going to do. God remembers every one of your prayers. The Word of God tells us that God is not man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So if you're waiting for something, I need you to have faith. I need you to be patient. Because if he said it, it has come to pass. So believe this. He will do exactly what he says. God will do what he says he will do. He will do what he says. No matter what you ask him, God remembers and he'll do what he says he will do. God will do. Keep persevering. Keep praying as we go into our prayers tonight. Many of you are coming back and you have prayers on your heart, prayers for loved ones. Remember that the prayer is not about satisfying the desires that you have. The prayers are really to change you. It's to change you. And God has promised us that he will do that. God will do what he said. He will do what he says, no matter what we're asking. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer. You're seeking anything in your life. You're seeking deliverance. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on God. Everything that God said he would do, he will do. He remembers. God remembers your prayers. Who says amen to that?
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we rejoice today. We have witnessed miracles today in the pool. And we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, our prayer is today that we remain strong. We remain trusting in you, Father. And even when we pray, when we don't hear your voice, Lord, when you delay your answers, Father, we know you remember. Your timing is perfect. We don't understand your timing. Your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. We thank you for looking at the big picture, Lord, and not answering our prayers immediately. We thank you for giving us that waiting period. We thank you for giving us that time where you're working on us to get ready for your miracle. Work on us, Father. Work on us. Prepare us for that miracle. Change us, Lord. Change our hearts, dear God. Create in us clean hearts. Renew a right spirit within us, Father. Change our ways. Get rid of that stony heart within us and give us a heart of flesh today, Father. Help us to seek your face. Trusting in you, Lord, and in your word, Father. As we come together today, tonight, Lord, bringing our offering to you, bringing our prayers to you, Father, help us to be patient and wait, I say, on the
Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here today who would like to recommit themselves to you, Father, they've witnessed today those who have come and baptized this morning, Father. They've seen the Spirit today. They felt the unction of the Holy Spirit today, Father. Oh God, work upon their hearts even now. This is your time. This is your time. We're going to give the Lord just a few moments. There's someone here today who's been touched by the Holy Spirit. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Make your move today. Today is the day of salvation. Make that move today to join up, to sign up on the Lord's side. Join the Christian Jubilee today. Join God's army today. Don't be recruited next week. You may not be here. God has promised you he would be with you. He has a whole host of angels waiting to protect you. He has the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you. You promise the assurance of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. And there's nothing you can do to deserve it. All he asks you to do is receive it. Nothing you can do to deserve it. So the doors of the church are open right now. Is anyone here would like to accept this offering today? If the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you to give your life to Jesus again, maybe you need to get rebaptized. You want to get in this pool and get rebaptized. Now is the time. Church, we need you to pray and stop looking. Bow your head and start praying. This is God's time right now. Your prayer may be answered today, church. There's one here today. Let's allow the Holy Spirit his time right now. You bow your head. Just slip out of your seat right now and come down. Just come on down and join me here at the altar. If you feel the Spirit's presence speaking to you right now, convicting you right now, come on down to the altar. We'll meet you down here. Bible worker will meet you down here. Keep praying, church. This is where miracles take place right now. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You leave this place. Holy Spirit, speak to a heart today. Convict. Convict with your everlasting power, Lord. Convict a heart today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray this prayer. Is there one today? Never too late. Never too late. Just pray just a little while longer. God has been good to you. He's blessed many of us over and over again. He's given us chance after chance after chance. How many chances do you need for you to realize that God is on your side? He's for you. He's not against you. Why are you fighting him? Come on down and give your heart to him. Come on down. Just a few more minutes. Holy Spirit, speak to that heart today. Speak to that heart today, Holy Spirit. Convict. Change that heart today. And Lord, now, we're going to give you praise, honor, and glory for this wonderful day that we witnessed, Father. Thank you for the souls that went down into the watery grave today, Father. We thank you for the power of your word. We lift you up, Lord. We magnify your name. And we ask this prayer in the precious name. strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let the church say amen.